ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
I was sure that when I broke the news that one of the this year's hottest Halloween costumes would be Sexy Mr. Rogers, that all the texts would say something like, that's why they call it the neighborhood of make-believe, but nobody did. I'm not disappointed, I'm just shocked. Not a single text saying anything about the neighborhood of make-believe.
Won't you be my partner?
Did you see, do you know who Thomas Middleditch is?
Yes, I do, and I don't know why.
He's on, what show is he on? Is he on Silicon Valley? He's on some tech show or something, or a show that deals with technology. He's also in a bunch of commercials. He's the spokesperson for one of your major cell phone companies. The one where they keep talking to a guy named Thomas. That's Thomas. That's Thomas Middleditch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a tall, wiry guy.
Yeah.
So did you see the story about him, about how he said that swinging is what keeps his marriage alive?
To each his own, Bill, or to each her own.
Three each in his case.
I, you know, it's funny because I was out with a couple of my girlfriends, three of my girlfriends. I went out to dinner, and one of them lives in Naperville.
You mean Swingtown?
Well, that's what it was funny because one of my friends said, "Oh, you know, there was just a rating saying Naperville is one of the best places in Illinois to live."
That.
And I'm like, "It must be the swingers." And some of my friends were like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. And my friend who lives in Naperville goes, yeah, there are a lot of swingers.
Yeah.
Do they wear something like, hello, I'm a swinger? How do you...
I just think it's the way you carry yourself that other swingers can tell by your gait, G-A-I-T, not your friends.
Although if your gate is open.
If your gate is open, come on in. That should be Naperville's slogan. It should say that as you drive into Naperville. Our gates are always open. And then a wink, wink.
I don't understand the whole concept of it. I am not a swinger. I have never swung.
Anymore.
No. How is that going to be a good thing? Because unless you don't care about your significant other, seeing them with someone else would ruin it.
Well, because most of us have... There's a jealousy streak in us.
Right.
So you would look over and you'd go, well, look, there's the person I love having maybe more fun with somebody else. That's not
even, I don't even care if they think, because it would never be more fun than with me.
Of course not.
But just to even see them.
Using it as an example.
To see them.
Right.
I mean, that is just, no.
I understand that. Now, we have to be careful because for years on WGN, on the regular WGN, this is the stream, so the rules may be different. Whenever the topic of swinging would come up, there was a guy who always called in. No matter what show mentioned it, he would call in and tell his story about how he and his wife have been doing it for years, and it's been a very successful thing for them. And maybe it has. Maybe there are some people that are built that way. But for most of us,
I can't
comprehend
it. That would
be very, I know.
And I know you're in that boat, too.
That's my boat.
The swinger.
Yeah. No, the opposite. I have the boat that rides past the swinger boat going, what are you guys doing on your boat? You're going to sink your boat.
Oh, we need to change these phones, by the way, Jazz. We need to get the engineer to change it because I was going to give the number out because there's a different number on the stream.
Yep.
And, it's changed. 312-235-2525.
Swinging guy's going to call because he would.
He can call
for years and years and years. I think I
was with you too. One
you were
time,
at least once when he called in, and he's got this long manifesto about how he also thought at one point it was a bad idea, but then they tried it and they liked it and they did it more and it was great and they tried it more and it was great.
If that
works for you, that's good.
I'm not criticizing it. I'm saying I don't understand it. I really don't. What was that show with the
Swingtown?
No, the Ice Storm. Was that the movie with the key party?
Yeah.
Watching that made me terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You would just put all your keys in this glass jar, and then you'd go up there and pick a key, and then whosoever key that belonged to, you'd go, hey, let's go.
Spend the night with that person.
It was the whole night?
Well, depending on how long it took. Some people, it was... few minutes for
and they were
people.
Iced in so they couldn't go anywhere so
right.
They figured let's have some fun. You know what, that's not fun for me.
Mm-mm.
I'd have a drink, maybe do some needle points.
Also, there's the fear that you would draw the worst key. Wouldn't that? I mean,
that is a Trouville F answer.
Anybody who saw that scene went, "Boy, what would you do in a situation like that?" But the whole time I'd be going, "I got to make sure I don't get the Dodge Challenger key because I know whose car that is. That would not be good."
That's why you will never swing,
right? Because I would get the worst key.
You would see that's not nice,
right?
You judge people too much to be a swinger.
There's a joke where the punchline is keyless entry, but I can't think of the set. I don't have time for the setup. I can only think of the punchline.
I like your punchline.
I'll call everybody else later with the setup. So don't you assume because Thomas Middleditch.
Well, do you have the whole story for people who may not know it? If not, I have it.
I found it.
Okay.
But go ahead. What do you got?
Do you have the story?
Actor Thomas Middleditch said that swinging saved his marriage. Middleditch, who is best known for his role in Silicon Valley and the blockbuster Godzilla King of the Monsters, I must have taken a nap when that movie came out because I don't remember that, revealed that he and his wife of 4 years, Molly Gates, do not have a traditional, in quotes, marriage. He told Playboy magazine, "Only after I got married was I like, Molly, I'm sorry, but we have to get non-traditional here." I bet she was thrilled to hear that right after they got married. Because you think, okay, I kind of know the ground rules of what our marriage is, and then he shows up with this. To her credit, instead of saying, blank you, I'm out, she was like, well, let's figure this out. To be honest, swinging has saved our marriage. We have different speeds, like a blender. Just like a blender. We argue over it constantly.
Well, then that's good.
Right. What could go wrong there? But it's better than feeling unheard and alone.
No, it isn't really.
That you have to scurry in the shadows. What do you think the arguments are about? My guess is one of them says, we should do this more often. And the other one says, I was thinking the opposite.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There has to be some rules. Like maybe if Mr. Middle Ditch, crazy name, by the way. Yeah. It is. It's just an unusual name.
It sounds
not
like
bad,
it's from another era.
Yeah.
Matt Middleditch lives in that house over there.
Right. He would have to go out of town. Because the last thing you'd want to think about, obviously they don't have children, right?
I don't know if they do or don't. Let me see if it says. It doesn't say anything about whether they're children or
but
not.
But even so, if you didn't have children, you wouldn't want to look at your neighbor and go,
that's a good point.
I wonder.
That's a good point.
So there'd have to be some rules.
You'd establish ground rules from day one.
It can't be in this state. You have to go to another state.
But they're in Hollywood.
No, then that doesn't count.
You'd have to go all the way to the Arizona state line to swing.
It couldn't be anybody that lived on your block or that you knew.
What was the product where they would go, swing, American? Who was that? Was that LaCroix?
Yeah, LaCroix makes Chinese food. Swing, American.
You should be the spokesperson for LaCroix and not a cell phone company. Does LaCroix still exist? I don't know if they do or not.
Does the cell phone company care that he's come out with this?
What a great question. That's the first thing I thought of when I heard this story is, I wonder what that meeting was like. Where they called him in and they go, hey, Tom, I'm glad the swinging thing is working out for you, but can we just lay low on that for a bit because we have that cell phone company? And
either lay low or push the group plan a little more.
Is he in your five? Remember that? What was the phone company that did that where you'd have a circle of five people that you had unlimited calls to those five people?
I don't remember
that. He would need to have like 30 in his circle. Middleditch, who earned an Emmy nomination for his role as Richard Hendricks on the HBO series Silicon Valley, said that he has to be careful how much he reveals because, and I quote, I don't want my wife to be mad at me. I bet there's other reasons that his wife could potentially be mad at him other than this. Mm-hmm. He said, it's a perpetual state of management and communication to the point where I'm like, all right, we've got to stop. I'm gas. She's the brakes. The Canadian actor Middleditch. Well, that explains it.
He's from Canada.
Yeah. They're too polite to say no to anything. They're just the most polite people. Said that he and his wife are writing a comedy series about swinging. Do you remember the show Swingtown that
no,
was on about...
I thought you were kidding.
There was a show on about maybe 7 or 8 years ago called Swingtown. And the guy who... I had the guy on who wrote it. Because he lived in the northern suburbs, and he said that the story was based on the situation that was going on there in those northern suburbs.
Really?
And I live in the northern suburbs.
2008.
2008. All right, so
only
11
one
years
season.
Ago.
Was there anybody good in it?
Molly Parker from Deadwood.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And Deadwood
anybody.
Does not do you well if you're a swinger. I love my wife, and I've never loved anyone before, he said. Well, that's good to know anyway, as a base.
I don't believe him.
Well, there's a difference between love and lust. So he could
Thank
say...
Thank you, Grandpa, for explaining that to us.
He could say, I only love her, but...
I want to be with others.
I want to be with others.
That's not love, Bill.
No. With two people who feel that way about each other, how do you go down that road? It's tough. Bring a therapist along for the ride, says Thomas Middleditch.
Well, there's, you know, the swinging turns into a threesome then if right. you bring in your therapist.
Right. We don't even have swinging doors in our house, and we have a saloon connected to our... My wife wouldn't even love swinging doors. Middleditch married Gates in August of 2015 after almost 3 years of dating. So that never came up once during the 3 years of dating. He never said at some point, hey, if we ever do get married, I've got this idea. Like, that's a major lifestyle. Wouldn't you suggest, if you knew that maybe you were going to have issues upon getting married, wouldn't you just say, hey, as a warning, here's just something I'm thinking about. If we ever do get married, I don't want to shock you then, so I will shock you now.
I think you wait till after you're married to bring that.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well, not that it's fair, but she might have bailed and not married him.
Are you surprised she didn't?
I don't know her, so, you know, maybe she's into it.
Let's say, hypothetically, this is a parallel universe situation. Jimmy came out of nowhere, and he goes, hey, I've got this idea. And he just suggested that to you. What would happen next? You would say, or our relationship is obviously in some sort of trouble, wouldn't you? Am I reading too much into it?
No, I mean, I would think so. I would just go, no, you're not. But yes, obviously,
yeah.
Something's not right.
And you have to present that as, here's an idea for both of us. You can't just say, I was thinking maybe
right.
I could do it, and you could stay home and make sure things are good here at the house. But I'll be doing this from now on. You can't do that.
And a texter just texted us. I don't think this was for Elise Glink. I think it was coming to us.
What is it?
About check out the Demi Moore Ashton Kutcher story. So I did, and this came out like 54 minutes ago. She has a forthcoming memoir, and Demi claimed that bringing multiple sexual partners into her marriage with Ashton Kutcher was one of the reasons for their divorce.
Yeah.
In excerpts obtained by Radar Online, the G.I. Jane star, 56.
That's how they introduce her, is the star of G.I. Jane?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that her best known work?
Probably.
Yeah? All right.
What would you have put? I'd put About Last Night.
Blame It on Rio.
That's why you're not writing this. That's why you don't work at Radar Online.
I guess not.
The G.I. Jane star, 56, wrote that Kutcher, 41, with whom she was married to for 8 years, asked to have a threesome with her. I wanted to show him how great and fun I could be, Moore wrote in her book. Hang on, a pop-up just happened. However,
I bet it did.
She called the decision, quote, a mistake. Are you proud of yourself? A little bit?
Yeah.
All right, because that was good. Right. I wanted to show him how great and fun I could be, but she said it was a mistake.
If you want to show him how much fun you can be, get a badminton set.
That is not as fun. And you're going to put a shuttlecock joke in there, aren't you?
Wendy, that's sick. I'm going to write it down, though. Hold on a second.
While filming the 2010 film Another Happy Day, Demi Moore saw media reports which claimed the 2.5 Men star had...
That's how many people were involved.
...had cheated on her with then-22-year-old Sarah Leal, a Pilates instructor.
Nobody doesn't like Sarah Leal.
Did you have too much sugar?
Or not enough.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Sarah Leal... was a Pilates instructor. She revealed the affair in an exclusive interview with Us Weekly back in 2011. Demi says, I felt sick to my stomach. I knew she wasn't lying. Mm. Moore said when she confronted her husband, Ashton Kutcher, about his cheating, he tried to deflect blame and claim the two threesomes were part of the reason for his infidelity.
Oh.
Because we had brought a third party into our relationship.
You thought it would be okay.
That sure. blurred the lines.
Sure.
And to some extent justified what he'd done.
Oh.
The ghost star wrote. She's... Just no, say Demi that, Moore. I
but
know.
That's a little better. Or I would also say A Few Good Men, but that makes sense considering what we're talking about, I guess. But she's better known for those than I thought, G.I. Jane. And why am I focusing on this when there's a much bigger story going on? You know who tells a similar story? And it's hard to think about this, but Shirley Jones.
What?
Shirley Jones told a story. She wrote a memoir a couple of years ago where she talks about her husband suggesting other people be involved in their affairs.
Who, Marty Engels?
Was it Jack Cassidy or Marty Engels? I think this was when she was married to Jack Cassidy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that goes over well. And do you ask or do you wait to get caught?
You have to kind of know your audience there, because that when you suggest, I'm guessing when you suggest that you're really revealing a lot,
and you could be facing the end of your marriage there too.
I would imagine as happened to Demi Moore, the star of G.I. Jane.
Oh, Demi Moore, I didn't realize. Who's Freddie Moore, musician Freddie Moore? It says, prior to her marriage to Kutcher, Moore was married to musician Freddie Moore from 1980 to 1985.
Yep.
She married Bruce Willis in 1987.
She was married to Roger Moore for a while and Dinty Moore for about a year and a half.
I got to take a break.
I got to go.
I know. I just had enough of him. I don't know. Typically, you don't put all these into one phenomenal show. You know, you sprinkle them over a couple of days.
I got a couple of days off, Wendy. There's no alternative. I didn't even mention Dudley Moore. I'm saving that for later.
Trust me, you can sit on this over the weekend. It'll still be fresh on Monday.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break and try and recoup. I don't even know what to do with you. Ryan Burrow will check in with the news next. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream. I like to call this Bill Left Unleashed. There's for a good reason, too.
Ryan, I know that you're not behind this, but shouldn't Oktoberfest be in October?
Yeah, well, there are
a couple
things.
But even in Germany, they do it in September. But
they do.
To get ready for October?
I guess so.
It's really more of a celebration of the end of the harvest. That's what it's supposed to be.
Then call it Septemberfest.
Yeah, Septemberfest or Harvest Fest.
I think from an American's perspective, I can tell you that a lot of Oktoberfests are in October, but
right.
they tend to move them up earlier because of the weather. You don't know what the weather's going to be like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're going to see Oktoberfest this weekend. So
remember how sometimes Monday Night Football would be on other nights of the week, but
yeah,
they still call it Monday
right.
Night Football.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
That's not right.
No. No, I mean, now they call it Thursday Night Football, but for years when Monday Night Football was on Thursday nights, they still called it Monday
I'm
Night Football.
I'm not going to change now. I can't get the Germans to change.
Right.
Why, the question on the old Googler is, why is it called Oktoberfest when it's in September? It starts in September because its final day has a fixed spot on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
The last day of the festival is always on the first Sunday of October. That's mm-hmm. when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
In October 1810, the Bavarian crown prince, Ludwig,
mm-hmm.
married Princess Teresa of Saxony-Hildburghausen.
Nailed it.
And locals celebrated in Munich, and that's what became Oktoberfest. This year, the festivities start on September 14th.
Wow, that's long. That's long.
Yeah.
That is long.
Our own Eric Rung is in Germany right now.
To cover Oktoberfest?
No, he's actually part of a journalism group. Americans that go over there and kind of learn their ways. Yeah, I did this program and kind of coaxed him into doing it. So he started in Brussels, and I think they were in, last I checked, Cologne. I don't know if they're going to Munich or not, but yeah.
So it's Oktoberfest starts in September. The final day has to be a fixed spot. It's the final day is always the first Sunday of October. So they work backwards to decide when they should start it, so then it could end. And it's grown in popularity. The annual Bavarian Bash evolved from a royal wedding in 1810. I told you about Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese. The festivities began on October 12th, 1810, and ended on October 17th with a horse race. That's how it ended. In the following years, the celebrations were repeated, and later the festival was prolonged and moved to September. And that's how it happened.
I know Berghoff has theirs starting this weekend. Palatine's got a big one going on. What's the Brauhaus? Isn't that the one?
The
Hop Brauhaus, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm texting Eric Rung. I want to see if he'll bring us some Black Forest cake.
What is that? Chocolate cake with strawberries and kind of syrupy kind of thing?
Delicious. But I can only imagine how good it would be in the Black Forest. So I want some fresh Black Forest cake.
I've been watching their I've been watching them on social media to see where they're going, and theirs is set up a little bit differently than mine. We went to Prague for ours. I don't think they're going to Prague. So.
Did you guys have a German club in your high school?
Yes,
We have. I went to Valparaiso University, and they have a German house.
They have a German house, there.
Haus.
Haus. H-A-U-S.
House.
They could only
it's named
speak,
for Haus. From
they could only speak
Bonanza.
German in that house.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that the rule?
Yeah, that was the rule.
The German club at Oak Forest High School every year made money, and then they would send some kids to Germany. But the way they did it was by selling us two kinds of candies. Gummy bears. This is when gummy bears weren't in stores here in the United States. Like, you had to go to Germany to get gummy bears.
Well, because it's the, what is it? The
Black Forest.
Yeah.
The Harbio.
Haribo.
Haribo. Those are, that's a German
brand. That's German?
Yeah.
And the other one was a candy called Softies, which was like a long stick, but it was chewy like Tangy Taffy.
Okay.
And it was delicious. And that's the only place I ever saw that candy.
Very interesting.
But they would make incredible amounts of money for me alone. I don't know if they sold it to anybody else, but I would buy so many gummy bears and Softies. Mmm, so good. You know how in the past we have talked about when a comedian gets himself in trouble, like Louis C.K. or Aziz Ansari, and then they go back and they start performing again, and sometimes they call attention to the problems they've had, like Aziz Ansari has done, but like Louis C.K., they ignore it.
He still hasn't come about talking about it, really.
He's talked about it a little bit, but not... Like, you would think a guy whose comedy was dealt was kind of dipped in reality would say, hey, it's been a crazy couple of years, let's go through it. He hasn't really done that. He's just made a quick reference to it and moved on, which I guess is one way of handling it.
Because you're wasting the time of the people that are there, I suppose, right? I mean, if we're going to get into this big... do you do it once and then, okay, I don't have to talk about it anymore, or do you have to go in depth with every single audience that you face then, and how long?
That's a tough question.
And isn't it good material to give you jokes, too?
Well, it's...
Because Aziz Ansari kind of, he was very serious about what he was putting forth and how he learned from that.
Right.
And he didn't apologize to the person. He said, I'm sorry if this was not a mutual feeling. I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because we don't know the whole truth about that either.
Right.
The
only
really
people who kind of know are the two are Aziz Ansari and the girl he went on the date with.
But then he kind of went back to making jokes because that's not about it necessarily.
Right.
But
right.
Louis C.K. could... It just should be talked about.
You would think if you were him, you would talk about it as if to say... Here's a mistake I made, but here's how I've learned from it, and now I want to come back and be myself again. Please let me do that, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So the reason I bring this up is that Shane Gillis, that is the guy who was on Saturday Night Live but wasn't for 4 days, has now made a return to the stage at a club in New York. Do you think he addressed his Saturday Night Live situation and his racist rants, or do you think he did not?
I think he did.
Wendy?
He didn't really do it. He just said that, you know, hey, I'm honored to have been chosen by SNL. Sorry it didn't work out. I understand
that's
their
what
choice.
He said. That was his public. That was his announcement.
Yeah.
But now he's on stage. So do you think on stage,
do you think
that was part of his act to talk about it, or do you think he ignored it?
I don't think he'd talk about that.
Here's what happened. Shane Gillis returned to the stage for the first time since his firing from Saturday Night Live, and it wasn't flowers and apologies. the controversial comedian who was fired days after being hired when racist and homophobic slurs from his podcast, Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, surfaced, took to the stage on Wednesday, excuse me, at the Stand NYC for a set. Audience goers heard him joke about getting the axe from the NBC sketch comedy show about Asians and about the hypothetical assassination of President Trump. He said, "It's been weird," this is what he told the crowd, according to Variety, which said he got a warm reception during the show. "Twitter has been blanking nuts," he said. "You try to stay off of it for the whole blanking country, and they hate you. That's not a fun feeling as a human, especially when you never get to say your side at all." Discussing Lauren Michaels cutting him from SNL, Gillis said, "Everybody's like, you can't say the S word and not expect some consequences." According to USA Today, he said, "I'm fine with the consequences. That's it. I'm not arguing, but I do want everyone to know that I've been reading every one of my death threats in an Asian accent." He also talked. So he,
I gave
so,
just a yeah, sad.
He
look,
obviously just, learned his lesson.
Yes, yeah.
He's back to normal. He also talked about getting support from Saturday Night Live alums Rob Schneider and Norm Macdonald. He said, "As soon as they decide that you're a bad guy, you're just alt right now or something." Gillis said, according to USA Today. "For real though, I did not vote for Donald Trump. Look at me, I didn't. But that was tough. His whole campaign was at me. Are you a fat idiot? Yes, dude. What are we doing?"
But why couldn't he say, "You know what? I made a bad word choice"? Wouldn't that change things a bit?
Well,
he's not apologizing for.
He's not. You would think that would be if he wants to have some sort of career longevity, you would think that is the next best move. Anyone counseling him would say, "You got to make this right. You got to let him know that that was a version of you that you're not pleased with. Please do your best to separate yourself from that version of you, and then we can move on and build a career for you." But I think he wants to play the rebel of, "Hey, I spoke my mind, and look what happened. I got fired."
Yeah, but he's getting more publicity now than had he stayed the show,
right,
and was just a featured performer and may not have been used in a lot of sketches.
Right.
Yeah, he's, but do you believe any publicity is good publicity?
I do not. I think in the long run, maybe not, but it sure gives you 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And what you do with that 15 minutes is up to you. That's how I got my radio job.
Has anyone ever bounced back from something like this before?
Can
you think of anyone that
successfully? We talked about Michael Richards, who played Kramer,
yeah,
who really hasn't been able to at all, even with Jerry Seinfeld's help.
Right.
And Roseanne is not bouncing back.
Roseanne's not bouncing back. Mel Gibson hasn't bounced back. He's gotten some work, but he hasn't bounced back. You know,
really? I thought he has.
He's been in a couple of movies that have been not well attended. Like in the old days, if Mel Gibson was in a movie, it was an event. People would go and see it. Mm-hmm. And even I saw one of the movies, the one where he had an imaginary friend that was a beaver. Remember that one? Jodie Foster directed it.
I do remember that.
I saw it and it was actually pretty good. And what was there was some other movie I saw him in and I went, "You know, I hate to admit this, but he's still pretty good as an actor. But then as a person, you go, he's an awful person. So how do I justify seeing him in a movie?"
Sure.
Even though he can be a great actor. Kevin Spacey, one of my all-time favorite actors. If they paid me money right now to see him in a movie, I'd go, "Nah, I'm good. Thanks, yeah, though."
I saw Baby Driver that I rented or saw.
He was great in it.
Yeah, but I saw it after the news came out.
But didn't you feel every time he was on screen, you didn't get a little bit of, "Oh, there he is again"?
I didn't.
You didn't?
And we talked about this because then I felt like I was a bad person.
Well, that proved it. I think that proves it, Wendy.
I mean, the first time I saw him, I'm like, "God, that's just a shame." And then I just watched the rest of the movie, and it's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's why I was able to put that behind it. If the movie sucked...
Yeah, I know.
It was a really good movie.
It was a good movie, and he's always good in movies.
Will he ever bounce back?
There have been stories lately that he's getting offers in other countries, that there's film industries in other
Hasselhoff
countries.
Hasselhoff is offering him something in Germany?
Hasselhoff has something for him. That's where Eric Rung is right now, brokering,
full circle,
he's brokering
people.
That
We've
deal.
Full circle.
So I don't know what happens to him now. You know, there have been other people who have had very short tenures on Saturday Night Live. Do you know who Jenny Slate is?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's hysterically funny. She was on Saturday Night Live. It didn't go very well. And she was on it for, I think she made the 1 year mark and then they cut her. Remember she accidentally swore.
She said the F word on air.
I think on her first episode, didn't she?
That's not a good way to start.
Bad start.
Horrible that really start. Is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, do you not put a lot of trust in that person then moving forward? That's bad, Bill.
She didn't swear intentionally.
I know, it was an accident.
And other people on the show have also sworn, some intentionally, some not.
Who?
Charles Rockets said the F word.
Again.
And it didn't end well.
But he didn't go on to very much.
He did very little afterwards.
He's no longer with us, right?
He took his own life.
Yeah.
Paul Schaefer said the F word once.
He's Paul Schaefer. You can get away with anything. I hurt no one, man. He really is just right. So zen.
It was a sketch where it was the Middle Ages and he was a musician. And they kept referring to things. Whenever they would talk about something, they would call it where's your flogging guitar? It's over by the flogging chair. So the word flogging, of course, was a substitute word. And he said the other word.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, like, looked very, very embarrassed.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he realized what he said. Mm-hmm. But there was no consequence there. When Charles Rocket said it, he said it very intentionally. And from what I've read, they got a lot of very angry phone calls and email. Well, no emails at the time. A lot of angry
carrier
response
pigeon letters.
Yes, yeah. Telegrams, furious sure. Telegrams.
Stop, dear SNL. Stop.
I know this happened 4 weeks ago, but please stop the swearing tirade. Yeah, right.
Jenny Slate told Glamour magazine, "It felt like an explosion when I accidentally said the F word on live TV during my very first sketch. After it happened, Lorne Michaels wanted to make sure I was okay because he knew I was scared. I had never been exposed to so much publicity.
Yeah.
The aftermath was hard. People tweeted that I was ugly and not funny, and it really stung." And then she said to Glamour magazine, "Lorne and I never talked when I was fired at the end of the season. I got the news online. I've still never watched that clip of my F up. That'd be like watching yourself fall down the aisle at your wedding."
But imagine, all right, so she was on the show for a year. And she got to be in some scenes. But imagine a guy like this who you always have. If you're in comedy and you live in the United States, your dream or one of your dreams is to be on that show. That's a career making show.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live. So it could lead to so many other things. It can lead to movies. You can get your own late night talk show. You're on Saturday Night Live. That's a big deal. So imagine being there where you finally get your dream. You're given the show. And then just 4 days later, it's pulled away from you, and you realize it's by your own hand. You screwed up. That's got to just weigh on you forever.
Yeah.
What could have been, what might have been.
Chris Rock was fired from SNL in 93 after expressing interest in another sketch show in Living Color.
Yeah.
Chris Rock joined Sandler on stage in 2019 and explained, "I got fired. I was fired. I was fired by NBC. Then I went on in Living Color."
Three weeks later,
they took it off TV. Yeah. Because Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, Adam sang that song about being let go from the show when he returned to host in 2019. So Chris Rock,
that was really good. I liked the way they did that one.
It was really good.
That was strange that they let Adam Sandler go because he was one of the more popular cast members at the time.
I don't know why.
That was
they
a very
did.
Peculiar move.
I wonder if he was having some scheduling issues because he was probably pretty
doing
deep
movies
into his
at the
movies
time.
And stuff like that, right?
Yeah,
it's...
But you know who else was a curious firing was Taryn Killen a couple years ago.
I have this information. This is at people.com. No, I don't want a free tote. We quit.
Wendy, get the free tote.
Let's do it.
Taryn Killen had 1 year left on his contract with Saturday Night Live. He was unceremoniously let go without explanation in 2016. When asked why he was cut, Killam told Up Rocks, "I don't know fully. I don't know the other side of it. You signed for 7 years, so I had one more year. I had sort of had it in my head that I would make this upcoming year my last year, but then heard they weren't going to pick up my contract." Nothing. I mean, why wouldn't they say something?
It's very strange because he was one of their brighter stars at the time.
He really was.
Yeah.
And Jay Farrow was let go as well. He was unexpectedly let go along with Killam. He didn't give an exact reason as to why he wasn't asked back, but he did say, you go where you're appreciated. Mm-hmm. The comedian felt like he was put into a box on the show and underutilized. Ain't no beef with Lorne. We're on good graces. And we've had him on a few times. He doesn't like to talk about right. that at all.
He did not want to talk about it.
Sarah
Silverman.
I mean,
he gave us a quick sentence or two.
She was fired after one season.
Yeah.
Via right. fax.
Oh, that's cold.
That really is. The comedian said that.
That's what's hot and what's cold, Wendy, or half of it anyway.
Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
Getting
the 60
fired by
minute
fax.
Men.
Thank you, 60 Minute Men, but that is cold. That, I'm going to close the window in here. That's so cold.
She said that her Sarah Silverman, her firing was part of a big cast shakeup. She has a good sense of humor about it now, telling HuffPost Live. By the way, I wrote not a single funny sketch, so that might have had something to do with that, too.
How much is their demand for them to be able to write those sketches and then perform those sketches?
Well,
I mean, are these actors or are these...
Some of them are hired as just performers. Some as just writers. Sometimes you get both, you know?
Keenan's probably not writing his own... You think he's one of the actors?
I don't think I've seen his name as one of the writers.
Okay.
I don't think. I'm trying to remember back. It's possible, but I don't think he was ever listed as a writer. But if you look like in the early days of Saturday Night Live, there were certain cast members, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, whose names were in there among the writers, and then most of the cast was not. And they actually made a bit more money if they were both.
Yeah, that's what I wonder, if you're more valuable being someone who can burn it on both sides.
I mean, they all contribute a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. they have these big meetings, these table reads where people throw in lines all the time. So it's hard to say. But it's. I've heard from people connected with the show that Lorne Michaels, the way he operates is, there's rarely a formal moment where you realize you got the show. They just keep saying, he'll say, or he'll have somebody say to you, hey, come on in again next week. We'll work on some stuff and everything. And then all of a sudden you realize, I guess I'm in the cast. That you don't always get a formal phone call
sure.
saying they've tendered an offer, they want you on the show. So the firing is similar to the hiring.
Yeah, I guess.
Where it just kind of happens very covertly.
Robert Downey Jr., I keep forgetting that he was on there.
Yeah.
He said he was hired at just 20 years old for the show's 11th season, only lasted 1 year in the cast, though it's not totally clear if he was fired. Downey Jr. did admit that he was ill-suited for the job. He said, I learned so much in that year about what I wasn't. I was not somebody who was going to come up with a catchphrase. I was not somebody who was going to do impressions. I was somebody who was very ill-suited for a rapid-fire sketch comedy. I was like, this seems really hard. And he was not the right person.
It was a strange year because they hired a bunch of up-and-coming actors and some established actors. Randy Quaid was on that year.
Oh, that's right.
And Anthony Michael Hall was on that year.
He wasn't too bad.
He was 18 or 19 at the time, so he was very limited in what he could play. If you go back and watch that season, they were kind of stuck on what they could write for. There were a lot of, like... And they do this now to some extent, a lot of classroom scenes.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Because the cast is younger. So
right.
They're kind of believable just being high school kids. Let's run with that for a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I watch what I say.
Right.
Because you know what? I hate having to apologize.
Yeah.
I really do.
I know. Ryan, you can learn from this.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Thank you for hanging out.
Thanks.
Yeah,
we'll close things off next. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Good night, until we meet again. Adios, au revoir, I'll be the same till then. And though it's always sweet sorrow.
It is sweet sorrow. I'm not going to lie to you, there's some... It's some sweet and there's some sorrow. It's a combination platter is what it is.
It should be sour sorrow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because sorrow...
But that's hard to say. That doesn't...
Yeah, I guess.
People would trip up on that, I think. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. And we will take tomorrow off and Sunday off and then come back on Monday. Hold on, I'm going to write down the schedule because I'll come in tomorrow. I want to miss cartoons. Hold on a second. Tomorrow, then Monday. Okay.
You going to come after cartoons tomorrow?
Yeah, I can come by after the cartoons.
I'm not going to be here, so.
You're off both days.
You'll have to swing tomorrow.
Monday for sure. Swing, baby.
You're platinum.
All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.